Devil Radio, your fix for progressive news talk from Verona to Sun Prairie. Always streaming at darnwi.com.
If I had a hammer, I'd a hammer in the morning. I'd a hammer in the evening over this land. I'd a hammer at danger.
And we're back this week in Waukesha with our guest, Pete Pekarsky, U.S. Senate candidate. And you might remember that song from Peter, Paul, and Mary. Eventually, I'm going to have my backup band in here. We call them the Lonesome Corncrakes. We're going to be a Pogues cover band, so keep an eye out for
I was going to ask you about that, Don. Are you normally the lead, or are you a background singer?
Oh, boy. That's why I love Shane McGowan, because I can sing like him. I'm not a great singer. Thanks, Jason. So, but two things here. The Peter, Paul, and Mary song reminds me of when you go to Pete Pekarsky's website, he has a quote from one of my heroes, who was actually my senator, Robert F. Kennedy, and it's actually something he borrowed from George Bernard Shaw. Some men see things as they are and see why. I dream things that never were and say why not. And, of course, that resonates with me. But before we get to that, I'm going to read an email from one of our constituents. And it says, hey, perhaps many of your constituents, Don, are unfamiliar with Walk the Shaw. I think you should enlighten them that this is a far-left radical station, just to be honest. It is owned by a Governor Scott Walker hater who admitted to me that he actually prospered due to Walker policies. He's just another liberal hypocrite. Have a nice day. So, speaking to that, I'm a very proud Irish Catholic American that also worked for an English media company for 7 years, whose ancestors were responsible for enslaving mine for 750 years, as well as taking away our right to practice our one true faith, what we believe to be freely. But, there's just so many dichotomies. We're all Packers fans here, and they're owned by the citizenry. Like, what kind of socialist, garbage is that? Should we be rooting for the Packers then? But it leads to a bigger question here is about, we didn't judge people based on who they voted in the last election or where their political philosophies lie. And so, Pete, what is your solution for, how we build bridges and how we join, we make, build meaningful alliances across the aisles? And as well as, let's just face it, you have maybe 50% turnout in every election, and there's probably maybe 50% of Americans that don't affiliate with either of the two major parties. How do we bring everybody to the table? How do we become a more inclusive America?
I think what we have to try to do is to make it very clear to people that following our Constitution and our laws, we're enacting policies which benefit the greatest number possible of Americans, and that we're taking actions in the public interest to protect people on any one of a number of issues, that we're not doing this for the 1% or the 0.5% in this country. There are a number of ways that issue arises, whether it's with respect to stopping wealth inequality, which leads to political inequality, whether it is making sure that resources are evenly distributed around this country, to make sure that everybody, not just rich communities are taken care of, but everybody in this country is taken care of. And if it's necessary that, to provide a good, solid education, to provide health care, to provide the support people need. I mean, we had to bring people together on simple things that I think everybody would agree upon. Like, for example, as far as I'm concerned, we ought to make certain one way or another that every school child going to school has a decent breakfast and a decent lunch. And the reason we're doing that is because this is the future of our country. And it's not, there may be a few dollars involved, but not a whole lot. But this is the future of our country, and we got to realize that. A week or so ago, the person who holds the seat right now, holds the Senate seat right now, said he was unwilling to go to bat to see that school children they make $3 available, or what, $2.98, whatever it is, to get somebody a solid lunch. Well, the point is, it's not some kind of payoff. It's making sure we're investing in our country. We're making sure that those children are able to stay awake and stay focused for the next 3-4 hours and study in the afternoon, play whatever kind of sport they're playing after school, have dinner, and study for another 2-3 hours. And that is something that we've got to do. You know, and to hear somebody who's holding this seat now say he's unwilling to spend $3 so somebody who may not have the money can have lunch and study all afternoon, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me when he's perfectly fine changing the tax laws to throw $79 million 1 year to a couple of his campaign contributors and stuff another $19 million of the public's money, your money, into his bank account. I mean, you know, for $79 million, you can pay for a lot of school lunches. And this is the kind of thing I think we've got to get behind. What we've got to get behind is using these public dollars for the public good. And educating this country, protecting the future of this country, I think is a good, and I think we ought to get behind it. And there are a number of other areas where we can get behind things that are to the benefit of everybody in this country, and I propose to do that.
That sounds great. You know, and one thing I want to impress is with your background, because you have a very unique national security background. You've consulted, I believe it was naval leadership.
The chief of naval operations. The officer of the chief of naval operations, yeah.
Now, at the highest levels, when we're talking national security, there's three or four dossiers like, okay, this is the liberal solution. Here's the conservative. Here's the Democrat. Here's the Republicans. That all that goes out the window. We're talking about our national security. It's all about practical interest. What's in the best interest of the nation? In this case, what's in the best interest of protecting our citizens?
Precisely.
From an imminent threat. Can you leverage that experience towards the rest of politics? Education, economic development, infrastructure, race relations.
In a way, it's possible to do that. What we do in what I was doing in the national security field was looking at the facts. Gathering the facts, looking at the science and technology involved, and finding ways to do the things that had to be done to protect the entire country. In the strategic nuclear field, what you're talking about is protecting the life of everybody in this country by making sure that nuclear weapons are not used against the United States. And the way we do that and have done it successfully since the end of World War II is to maintain a deterrence force. There's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people who contribute to that. You know, I did my part. And that's an issue of deciding what is in the best interest of this country and how do we go about getting it. And it's got nothing to do with the politics involved. The issue is making sure that everybody in this country stays alive and those weapons aren't used against us.
Sure.
And that's a fairly straightforward thing to do.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, and I think, too, it's... Again, kind of returning to the email I got. It's, Mr. Crudy, the station owner, has a lot of very good friends from the right, including Joel Clefish, who's a very good friend of his. He's had Senator Ron Johnson on the show many times, who you hope to be facing in the general election in November, Pete. But I also think of that line from the Godfather trilogy is kind of my business book, and my response to that email from you personally is, you and I are both part of the same hypocrisy, but don't ever think it applies to my family. So we got to go to a break now, but we'll be back with Pete Pekarsky and more on his plans for the state, the nation, and what he can do for Waukesha. Stay tuned.